Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevan Zwelder.
Galatians 6:9 is a very, very important verse in the Bible because it tells us, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Now, I believe that the phrase in this verse that is critical to successful reaping is the phrase that says, in due season. You see, the trouble today is that there is a tendency to grow weary in well-doing and to faint before the reaping. In other words, missionaries that go to the foreign field feel this need to write back home soon and begin to talk about the souls of people that they're leading to the Lord Jesus Christ and the churches that they're planting. And when that doesn't happen suddenly, what happens is they start to force the issue, to make things happen, and they're trying to bring forth something before its due season. So Paul offers the necessary ingredient to keep you going long enough to eventually see the fruit of your labor. He says that your reaping comes in due season. Now, when you think about it, there's a season for everything the Lord does. I mean, we have the seasons of the year. Depending where you live, you may not see them as profoundly as some do in other areas, but generally you have the fall and the winter and the spring and the summer. And in those seasons, various things are happening that don't happen in the other seasons. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 talks about the seasons. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, Solomon said, after much observation and much study of nature and God's work in nature and things that are under the sun, he said, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. To everything there is a season. Now that's the way the Lord operates. Jesus died and was buried and rose again from the dead in due season. Jesus Christ will return for the church in due season. I know people have said, let's bring that last soul to Jesus Christ so the Lord can come. We'll fill up the body and the Lord can come. But if you think about that, that time has been set by the Father. And the Lord, when he was here, did not exercise his divinity and said, no man knows that time but the Father. But that's an indication that he has a time for that to happen. The Lord will return for the church in due season. The Lord will regenerate Israel in due season. I believe he's got the time set. The clock is set. The Lord does not complete his work out of season. He completes his work in due season. And it is vital to our well-doing that we remember this. Let's talk about some things that might be affected if it were not for remembering the due season of the Lord. For one thing, prayer is answered in due season. Have you ever read Psalm 122, verse 6? Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, they shall prosper that love thee. People have been praying for the peace of Jerusalem for a long, long time. That psalm was written, what, in 1000 B.C.? And here we are in, now past 2000 A.D. We're talking 3,000 years. People have been praying for the peace of Jerusalem for a long, long time. And we are still waiting for this prayer to be answered. Yet in due season, this prayer will be answered. And when it's answered, it will be answered gloriously. So what do you do in the meantime? In the meantime, you must patiently wait until the Lord answers this prayer. And likewise, you must patiently wait until the Lord answers your prayers in His time. Now, there may be a lot of things that you're praying for, and we are in a society that expects instant gratification. You talk to the Lord about it tonight, you want to wake up in the morning and find that He's answered that prayer. Now, one of the things for you to understand, and one of the things for me to understand, is there are a lot of other people that are praying also. You might be praying for God's mercy on behalf of somebody who has strayed from the Lord, and somebody else may be praying that the Lord will kill him. You don't know how the Lord is going to sort all that out. How can He answer those two prayers to the satisfaction of both of those people? Well, overnight, He's not going to be able to, generally speaking. It's going to take time for God to arrange all the pieces. I think of it in terms of building a puzzle or playing chess. Chess is a series of moves made by opponents. And each move is made both in a strategy for winning and in a strategy to defend against the movements of the opponent. You got to take all that into consideration. And so one man moves, and then this man that moves has a strategy how he's going to make that move work with a plan. Suddenly, his opponent makes a move that's not expected, and what does he have to do? He has to adjust his plan. Well, I believe God is like that as well. Nothing takes God by surprise, but every time that He makes a move, basically you have two choices. I mean, God sends a preacher and He says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You have the option then to believe or to reject. And if you reject, something happens. And if you believe, something happens. There's these series, you see, of consequences to every decision. Now, the Lord is hearing all these prayers. And like the pieces of a jigsaw puzzle, all these prayers are coming up and God is fitting these pieces in at precisely the time when they need to be fitted in so that the next piece can begin to build the picture. And it may be some time when all the pieces are put together of all the prayers that are being prayed that affect that one person for whom you're praying. And suddenly when all of those pieces can accomplish God's will in every aspect, boom, then He moves. And that might take years. When you pray for the peace of Jerusalem, it has taken millennia. In the case of a job opportunity for you or a move on a house, it may take months or it may take years. I'll give you an example. When we moved from Beeville to Corpus Christi, after we started the church that's here in Corpus Christi, we had parameters, and I won't go into all the details, but in praying, we had decided, among other things, that the house we were selling in Beeville needed to sell for a certain amount of money, and the house we were buying here needed to be purchased for the same amount of money or less so that we wouldn't have to borrow any money, and that we could just basically use the equity from one to pay for the other. Well, those housing markets are drastically different, and the realtor in Corpus Christi said you're not going to be able to buy the size house and the condition and neighborhoods that you want to buy for that much money. The realtor in Beeville said you're not going to be able to sell your house for that much money. But we were determined that that's what we would do, and we began to pray that way. And I'll tell you honestly that those prayers went on for over 2 years. But then, one day, our realtor called and said, you'll never believe this, but there is a buyer that will pay your asking price for your house. And I said, well, praise the Lord. That's great. And I picked up the telephone and I called my wife and I said, you know what? I just got a call from our realtor and there's a full contract purchase price being offered for our house. And she said, well, that's wonderful because I have just found the house on which we need to put a contract. And do you know those things came together on exactly the same day? Now, what did it take? It took time in due season. I can't describe all the circumstances that were necessary in order to provide the opportunity for the buyer of our house. I can't describe all the circumstances that were necessary for the seller of our house. But I can say this, God put all the pieces together. It took some time. We didn't grow weary. We had a lot of commuting to do. And in order to be able to live here and have kids in school here and go back and forth, that was quite a thing to do. But you know something? In due season, the prayer was answered. And everybody knew that it was answered in accordance with the Lord's will. What we needed was we needed time. We needed to be patient. We needed to wait for the due season of the Lord. So let me just say this, first of all, that prayers are answered in due season. Let me tell you something else. Souls are saved in due season. You know, preaching the Word of God to the hearts of men in the Bible is likened to sowing seed. You see that in Mark chapter 4. And I'm going to tell you something. You are not going to make seed sprout if it isn't sprouting season. When you see farmers around our area planting seeds at a certain time of year, they're planting because ground temperatures are a certain temperature. The likelihood of a frost coming has passed. There's a certain content of moisture in the soil, Lord willing. And so they plant that seed at precisely a time when it can germinate and come up. You've seen it. I have too. We've seen farmers plant seed and the water content in the soil was too low. And we got into a short drought situation and that seed never did sprout. Never sprouted. Good ground, just wouldn't sprout. Listen, you're not going to make that seed sprout if it isn't sprouting season. And if you go digging around in there trying to make it sprout or to try to see what's going on, you're going to do more harm than you're going to do good. Listen, even when the seed takes root in good ground, that seed will not bring forth fruit until it is due season, just like the seed that's being harvested in the farms around here right now. You can force it all you want. You're not going to change the season. Now, when you have the opportunity to witness, you go with somebody, you've got the best plan of anybody, you've got your little ABC plan, you got your little Roman road plan, and all those other things. And I think, let me say something. I don't think it's bad to have a plan. But I think it's bad to think that that plan is what's going to bring the soul to Jesus Christ. Okay? The truth of the matter is you have to realize that when you've gone, your purpose in going to that soul with the Word of God, with the seed of the Word of God, is to accomplish that day exactly what the Holy Spirit wants you to do with the Word of God and the life of that person that day. He is the one that reproves of sin, righteousness, and judgment. He's the one that brings that conviction when the reproof is taking place. And if you go in there and you're determined that you're going to get a confession or a profession of faith out of that individual, and the Holy Spirit has not brought them to that place, they haven't come to that place, you're going to do more harm than good if you get that soul to bow and pray with you in prayer when the Spirit of God has not finished his reproof. When the Spirit of God has not brought that regeneration. Listen, just because a person says certain prayers doesn't mean that the Spirit of God is regenerating that soul. You and I can get people to say many things. I grew up in Catholicism, and I was taught to say many things that I said and repeated just like I was told to say. People will do that. You can get people to pray prayers. You can get them to logically agree with you that they don't want to go to hell. And you can get them to pray with you. But listen, souls are saved in due season. I told a fellow one time when our crops here were at two different heights, one was ready to harvest and the other was half grown. I said, if all you have in your inventory of tools is a scythe, you're going to cut down all of this and claim it harvested when there wasn't anything harvestable in there. Souls are saved in due season. They're not saved when you want to bring them to Jesus Christ. They're not saved by the will of man. They're saved by the Lord God. They're saved by the Word of God. And in some souls and in some hearts, it takes time before the Lord is able to open the heart to bring that person to saving faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you have got to give God time to bring forth the season. I'll tell you what, you'll grow weary in well-doing if all you do is go out there and you keep getting people to make professions of faith and you never see them come to church, or you see them baptized and you see them there and you don't see them grow. You're going to say, what happened? What happened to this soul? I know a guy that professed that 5,000 souls every year were getting saved out of his work, and hundreds were being baptized, but the church never grew. It was 125 and it was always 125. And you know, you'll wear out after a period of time. You're going to have to keep people stimulated by some other means. Why? Because they're not seeing anything. And the season, what's happened is, those souls that are making those professions, that's all they're doing. They're not coming forth to the Lord in their due season. Souls are saved in due season. Prayers are answered in due season. I'll say something else. Wayward children, if they ever return to righteousness, come back in due season. There was nothing the prodigal son's father could have done to turn that boy's heart back to home before the season that he came to himself in that pig pen. He just had to wait it out and hope and pray for his son's return. I mean, seriously, he could not force it to happen. I believe that some parents are guilty of overdoing it with their wayward kids. They end up driving them further from the Lord. And these kids must find out for themselves that God is real to them. So listen, if you have a wayward child, and I know what that is, okay? I don't mean I know what that is because I've seen it before. I know what that is because of my own household. I know what that is. And listen, you and I can go over there and we can get our Bibles out and we can pound away and we can fret and fuss and we can force the issue and all that other kind of stuff. When you do that, I think what you do is solidify their opinion against God and solidify their opinion against you. Now, you and I can pray for them. You and I can be there for them when they need us. There are times when what we say is a reproof on an obedient ear, rarely, but sometimes. And what you have to do is you've got to be very, very patient, because listen, God loves them more than you do. God wants to be real to them. He wants to reveal himself to them. He wants them to know him the way you know him and the way he wants to be known by them. But he knows the condition of their heart. He can see their hearts. He can see their minds. He can see their eyes. He can see their actions. He can see their thoughts. He knows the intent, thoughts and intents of the heart. He knows all of that. And he knows what they're thinking. And if you're sitting there trying to bring this wayward child back to God, you may actually be doing more harm than good. Because the Lord is waiting, 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 waiting for just the right time. And at just the right time, he wants just the right person, just the right circumstance, just the right word spoken, said, done, the right action done, the right thing. Sometimes it's a calamity, sometimes it's the goodness of God. Just the right thing. And then just at that right time, something happens where God gets a hold of their heart and he can speak to him. He can speak to him in the recesses of their hearts and minds in a way you would never be able to reach them, in a way that is unmistakable to them, that they know they've had a meeting with God. I've had a meeting like that when I was wayward. I've had friends of mine, several testimonies, tell me that they were in places like a place of employment or in the house or whatever, and something happened. At that moment, There was a voice inside of them that spoke, a voice they recognized, the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ, that same voice they heard through preaching, through the Bible. God gave them something, and God became real to them at that moment. And then they started to turn and come back. And I'll tell you, sometimes the return pace is fast, and sometimes it's slow. But you don't know the season. God does. Wayward children, if they ever return to righteousness, come back in due season. Be patient. And let me say this then. Men enter the ministry in due season. You may have a real heart for the ministry, or you may know somebody who has a real heart for the ministry, but it is the Lord who calls. And he will not enable you or the person you know and put you into the ministry until he is ready for you. No matter how much you may want to do something for him, you must wait until your due season. Let me ask you a question. How many Christians do you suppose died as a result of Paul's persecution? Many. Many were imprisoned. Many, he consented to the death of many. Why didn't God appear to him a year earlier and save the lives of all those Christians and save all that persecution? Well, you may not be able to answer that question. I may not be able to answer that question. I mean, we could say, well, he allowed for more persecution, and that caused the gospel to spread and to go out from Jerusalem on into Syria and on into Samaria and on into the uttermost parts of the world. And certainly that would be true. But you don't know all the circumstances that were going on. Neither do I. All I can tell you is the Lord waited until Paul was on the road to Damascus before he saved him and called him into the ministry. He allowed Paul to go through those periods of persecution with the church. I mean, the Lord, according to Paul in Galatians chapter 1, verse 15, had chosen him long before he got saved. He called him from his mother's womb, or separated him from his mother's womb. But he didn't call him until his due season. And when he called him, then he enabled him and put him in the ministry. We have a young family in our church. They're in their mid-30s, and now he's going in finally after 15 years. Bible Doctrine Institute, lots of training here. They've been involved in every aspect of our ministry here. And now he has been selected by a church to be their pastor. An interesting turn of events, really. When I first began to pastor, after I graduated from Bible college, I pastored in Beeville. And I was there for 8 years. And left and started a church in a bunkhouse over here in Corpus Christi. And the Lord blessed, and we moved to rented property, bought some property. We've built here now. Church is well established. We train men here and have other things going on. In that church there in Beeville, while we were still in a storefront, before we ever moved to the building that eventually gotten built and now another one, a fellow named Boatman, Brian Boatman, heard me on the radio and came to that storefront and heard some preaching there. And then as we got started in this ministry here, joined himself to this ministry and went through Bible courses and Bible instruction. He and his wife worked in every aspect of the ministry here. We 10 years ago, 11 years ago, whenever it was, when they got married, I did their wedding. I was there for their children. One of their children died. We had to do the funeral for that child. They've been in this ministry that whole time. And now, as the season has gone, he's prepared for the ministry, and he's been chosen by the church in Beeville to be their pastor. He's going back where we started to pastor that church. That's an amazing thing. That is a remarkable turn of events if you think about it. You say, what is that? That's just God's season. God's season. It's been 14 years since we were there. And God has given us a great work here in souls and missions and great friends and growing Christians and men training for the ministry. But in God's season, he put Brian Boatman in the ministry, and now he's going to help that church to build and to grow and to accomplish God's will in that community. Remarkable, remarkable turn of events. Listen, You must give the Lord time to bring forth fruit in his season. You know, when you read in Psalm chapter 1 about the man that's like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and he doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, and he doesn't stand in the way of sinners, doesn't sit in the seat of the scorners, delights in the law of the Lord, and in the law does he meditate day and night. He's like a tree planted by the rivers of water. What that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. There's a season for you. There's a season for you, and then that prayer that you've been praying so long will be answered. There's a season for a soul that you've been witnessing to, perhaps a child, to get saved. And in due season, by God's grace, he'll bring him to Christ. I know they have to receive him. Well, don't give up on him. Don't grow weary in well-doing. Your wayward child, I believe he'll come back in due season. Don't quit praying for them. Don't tie God's hand by rushing it, and don't get in God's way by doing something that isn't led specifically by the Spirit of God, that's only led by your yearning heart. Don't do that. If you have an inkling and a desire to do something in the ministry, wait. 15 years was a long time for Brian to wait for God to finish everything that he wanted to do to get him ready for this particular stage. But he's done it. Be patient. Let God in his season build you into the person that he wants you to be for that Sunday school class or for that youth ministry or for that something in the song. So if you don't have to do it the first time the idea comes to your mind, you don't have to jump right in there. Let God do something in your life and begin to bring forth fruit in his season according to the work of his Holy Spirit in your life. Be patient. Be patient. Takes a long time for God to get things done. It's not because he's bound by time or incapable of doing it miraculously and instantly. It's because of you. It's because of me. It's because of the souls for whom we pray. It's because of the children for whom we pray. It takes time for these things to come around. So let's give God that time. Wait on the due season. Then when it comes, we'll still be there in well-doing, and we shall reap if we faint not. God bless you. God bless you as you wait on God's due season. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.